All right, we are here. Welcome. Welcome. Lots of bright lights. You are a spark of consciousness, a piece of the divine, a part of the body of God, Goddess, all that is, if they did have a body. Part of the infinite love and light that makes up all the realities of physical realities and all the non-physical realities. Make up what is and that which is not. You are part of it all. You are an individualized speck of light. This is not to diminish you at all, because you, as part of the divine, have chosen through your own desire and nature, as part of the divinity within you, to do that which is natural to you, to love, to grow and expand, and to create. These are qualities, nature of God, Goddess, all that is. This is the nature of the divine. And in your lives, no matter how mundane, no matter how seemingly rote they may be, mundane, a rut that you live in, at the very worst, these three natural aspects of yourself are still going to come through you in one way or another. They're going to motivate you. They're going to move you. You are indeed motivated by love, to love and to receive it. You're motivated to create and to enjoy and celebrate your creation. You're motivated to grow and know more and be more. All of this is just exquisitely fun. You can't help it. It's your nature. But you also chose, adventurers that you are, to come into and explore physical plane reality. You chose to forget the greatness of yourself, to explore being yourself through different filters, to explore creating from scratch, to find out what it is like to go into a void where you don't know who you are, where you don't necessarily have techniques and strategies, and to build something, to experience something. You chose Earth specifically because Earth is the site of a beautiful consciousness experience that got you all excited. You got all enthused about it. And you've lived on other places, other planets, other systems, in other times and spaces. But you came to this one. And in this life, you came to this time-space in this world so that you could participate in this great consciousness exploration, so that you could tap into the fullness of your own capacity to love, your own capacity to create, your own individual capacities to do that and to expand, to remember who you are, to bring yourself into a gorgeous, beautiful co-creation experiment with a whole bunch of other individual sparks. An evolution of yourself as the individual and the evolution of God, Goddess, all that is, as the whole. You are not some dregs of the universe. You are not some awful throwaway. Now you know that. You've been on a spiritual journey. But somewhere in your life prior to today, you've experienced the connection with the darkest and most bitterly small parts of yourself. And at some point in your life, you identified with those small parts of yourself. You felt embarrassed, humiliated, shamed. You felt perhaps worthless, useless, powerless, helpless. You felt that you were bad, you were wrong, something was not right with you. This was painful. You felt the pain, you felt the hurt, you felt the separation from the light. And you chose, dear ones, you chose consciously at one point before you came into the earth dimensions. You chose to experience that, to find what could be the quote-unquote furthest away you could get from knowing the fullness of yourself. So you would have the full range of the journey from the complete, or as complete as it can be, darkness to the light of your truth. And dear ones, you've been on this journey through many, many lifetimes, evolutions. And in this particular one life, there is a facet of this journey as well, from the darkness to the light. Each life being its own particular exploration of this theme. You don't have to be here. You don't have to do this. You chose to do it, even though at sometimes you may have regretted your choice because your reality seemed to be too tough, too unrelenting, your life too uncomfortable and painful. You chose to be here. And now you're rediscovering your choice. You're rediscovering the parts of you that are natural to you, the part that wants to expand and grow, the part that wants to love and be loved, the part that wants to create. You're discovering the divinity within you. You're looking again for the reconnection. Part of this process of going from the darkness to the light, or the overall process, we call the emergence. Within this, there is specifically a need for you to release those parts of yourself, those filters from your eyes, from your spiritual eyes, the filters that say that you are unworthy, that you're undeserving, that you're bad, wrong, weak, useless, powerless. Those filters, because they're in the way. Because your journey was to find out how to let them go and how to reinstall the greatness of you. When you come into a physical manifestation, you get born as a baby and you mature your body and you get at age 21 or wherever it is, you get your maturity in your society, officially designated that you're a responsible adult. And you live your life as the adult until you age and die. Part of the cycle of life. You do that also in a way, spiritually speaking. You put yourself here on this planet with blinders on, and you accepted filters from your environment, from your parents and family, who you chose specifically for their unique filters through which to see life. their unique strategies with which to deal with the issues of their lives. They may have wondered, why did I have to grow up in such a dysfunctional family? It's because you wanted to look at that. You wanted to explore what it was like to move from that darkness to the light. You chose your darkness. And your parents did a really good job. They deserve Oscars. They really gave it to you. They found your weak spot. And they shoved it in there. They gave you filters that limited you. As a child, you felt powerless. You felt needy. You needed someone to take care of you. As a child, your motivation is to find someone to take care of you, someone to love you so you can survive. So then maybe survival could be handled, so then you could do your loving and growing and expanding and creating. One way or another, this got twisted. Those filters became more and more dense, more a fog. So you could not see your light, you could not see your beauty. You grew up into adolescence. In adolescence, you're motivated to be accepted, to be loved or at least respected, admired, but accepted. And you'll do almost anything to be accepted. You'll do almost any mutilation to your body, if you're really into the fashion of it, or whatever clothes are required, or whatever trappings to get your image to a place where it can be accepted. When you become a young adult, moving out into the world as the adult, you have a motivation to find happiness, to find the life that can give you this great space of loving and creating and expanding. Always inside yourself, you knew these motivations. You felt these motivations. They've been with you from the get-go. They went through your life even before you got onto the spiritual path, pushing you, moving you to the place to where you could intersect with destiny, to connect with your spiritual awakening. And on this spiritual awakening, to discover more, to grow more, to expand more, to create more, to love more, brought you many opportunities, many situations. You were creating them, but you didn't see that. You didn't quite know it. The further you go on your spiritual journey, if you notice, the more and more you realize that when you're in harmony with yourself, when you're in alignment with yourself, when you are loving and feeling free within yourself, when you're able to create and express yourself, when you're able to expand and grow yourself, when you're able to do these things that are natural to you as a spiritual being, that magic happens. Synchronicities of all sorts, phenomenal openings and possibilities can come to you. It is almost as if you just have to present yourself and say, here I am. And the opportunities, the doors can open for you. But when you're in conflict, when you're struggling to survive, whether emotionally, financially, in your relationship or with your health issues, then that becomes primary. The magic sometimes is harder to come by. Sometimes it doesn't seem that everything is just flowing in a great harmonious way. What is going on, dear ones, is that you reach an edge, you reach an outer perimeter of yourself. You reach what we call the walls of your box, the limitations of your filters that you picked up when you were a child or a teenager or a young adult, those filters that you carry over your eyes, your spiritual eyes. And when you remove those filters and see yourself and claim and own who you are and bring all those parts in disagreement to that, into healing, you move into harmony and peace. You feel a deep sense of peace and fulfillment within you. You feel the divine within you. And only magic of a positive nature will appear to you. Only beautiful things can come to you. But as long as you have conflicts built into your filters, your perceptions, your beliefs, your orientation to your world, you will continue to bring in challenges that are necessarily unpleasant, but they do stimulate you. We've discussed this before, but you have a particular area of your life that is what you might call your quote-unquote weak area. But actually, it's an area of your greatest growth. We call it your commission of challenge. It's the area you said, you know, when that type of conflict happens, that type of issue happens, when I have to encounter and hit up against that limitation of that filter, that's what kicks me in with greater impetus to grow. So when you have a challenge in your life, what does it do for you? It forces you, in a sense, awakens you through your choice of it as your required kick in the ass. That's why we call it the kick-ass school of growth, right? It's your kick in the ass to make you grow, to make you stand up and say, who am I? But if you still are totally fixed to the filters that hold your self-image as limited, that hold your identity bound and chained to the past or to the fantasy of what should be dreamt by a self that you once were, you will continue to call on the commission of challenge to stimulate your every growth. It will be by reaction. Your growth is through reaction and response. It is harder for you to grow through proaction and your own initiation. You wait for yourself to get whammied, and then, oh yes, you'll pick it up and you'll push and you'll discover and you'll grow. Yeah, it'll feel like it's on a deadline. All right, come on, urgent. You got to do it because all of a sudden you're going to run out of money. Or all of a sudden, oh, you're ill. You're going to have to quit your job. And then how will you survive? Or you will have to, or your relationship is going into the dumps. Some avenue of your life becomes your commission of challenge, your place for greatest spiritual growth. Dear ones, this is the old school. Today we want to bring you, once again, as we always enjoy doing, into the beauty and light of the new school. And we're going to do it by addressing those parts of yourself that have put filters over your eyes, who have unresolved conflicts for you, which draw and attract to you your commission of challenge in whatever area of your life you have selected it. And you can change. Sometimes you have your commission of challenges in your emotional body and you have all sorts of emotional issues. And then you get on top of that and all of a sudden it shifts over for a while to the physical body. You have to have at least one at any given time in the old school. All right. The new school is going to be where you have all venues available for your development, for your growth, for your exploration, for your adventure, for fun and celebration, for discovery. Oh, you like to discover. When you tap into your natural curiosities as spiritual beings, you at first can seem inclined to just look under every rock. Okay, where's the truth? Where's the light? Where's the love? It's fantastic. And then you find sometimes some pathways, some avenues of spiritual development that are feeling natural for you, feeling more supportive, more accelerated for you. And then you can work that way. But you still have not come to step fully into the new school of proaction. You're still working through reaction, growing because you have to, in a sense. Okay, you get pushed up against the wall, all right, I'll grow. It's like you put the gun to your head, right? If you pull the trigger, what's a horrible thing that would happen? You'd be alone. You'd die. You'd be poverty stricken and penniless and living homeless on the street. You know those images that are in there that threaten you, that scare you. These images were installed in you by your family. The ones who loved you, right? In their unique way. Some of them did not seem to be very loving at times at all. But they had their filters. And they didn't outgrow their filters. So you didn't know that you would or could outgrow yours. These filters can be found within you, in your inner voice. What you tell yourself all day. The story you give of yourself, that you talk to yourself about. You know, you do all have a story. The story of you. How is your story? Is your story a sad story? A story of being a champion against all odds? A story of struggling indefinitely and mediocrity? What's your story? You tell it to yourself all the time. Now you know, you've been alerted, you've been on the spiritual path to listen to the voices in your head, to listen to your thoughts, to listen to your feelings during your day. The more aware you are of your thoughts and feelings, the more capable you are of responding. But from what place are you going to respond? What filter do you buy into? Do you buy into the filter of your child, needy, always looking for someone to take care of you? If so, all the situations that come to you will take your support away from you and leave you struggling to find someone, some support, some lifeline for you. And when these challenges come, how do you respond? What do you think about them? If you are thinking and feeling and looking at life through the filter of your child self, you'll feel pretty powerless. You could get into a lot of, like, feeling victimed, victimized, feeling that somehow or another you don't have options. You're in a corner. How do you respond? How do you react? What thoughts and feelings do you go through? What beliefs do you hold? What story about yourself do you tell yourself during your day? If you see through the filters of an adolescent, it's always concerned, well, how do other people see me? I can't ever appear weak, you know. I've got to always appear smart and bright so that I can be accepted, that maybe I can be valuable and I can be loved. So what issues are you going to bring to you? Issues of separation. Issues of rejection. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean it'll only happen in the area of relationships. It can happen in, when you look for a job, to continuously go to interviews and be rejected. It can be your adolescent. I've got to go in and look good, and I've got to have the right image. And if you're rejected and you're in looking through your adolescent filters, what are you going to feel? You're going to feel embarrassed. You're going to be feeling hurt. Maybe even ashamed of yourself. Worried, well, what did I do that, maybe I didn't look good enough. I need to play high school politics here. You'll exchange favors. I'll see if I can have some leverage here. If you look through the filter of your young adult, the one who's motivated to have all the trappings of success, because if you have all the trappings, oh my gosh, you should be happy. You know, if you have the right house, you have the right car, the right mate, you have the right job, you have the right amount of money, you have the right lifestyle, you should be happy. You might actually have had a period in your life where you had all your right lifestyle and right everything, and you were puzzled, why am I still not happy? Because the young adult is always looking for the form of stuff, but it's manifested, always looking to manifest, always looking to do. And when you have a crisis and you look at it through the filter of your young adult, you look at it, well, what have I not done enough of? I need to work harder. I need to do more. I need to push myself more. I need to succeed. I need to achieve. I need to get that trappings of success. I need to get those symptoms that show that I've made it. I must not have done a good enough job. I've got to do more. And many of you who actually have achieved some of that trappings of success, before you got on your spiritual journey, may have discovered as soon as you got on your spiritual journey, it's like the power of all those trappings got pulled out, and all of a sudden, you're again faced with yourself. Your spiritual journey is a journey of you. That's it. It's not about anybody else, what they think or feel about you. It's not about you getting taken care of. It's not about you fulfilling the dream lifestyle and making those millions, or giving those millions in great foundations to benefit the planet. Oh, now you're going to be the saint. Right? Now you should be happy. It's not all about that at all. It's about you. It's about you owning your divinity. And when you look through any of these filters, when your child speaks to you, when your adolescent self speaks to you, when your young adult self speaks to you in your mind, puts the filter on, you'll go into their challenges. You see, you live in the now. These three selves, these are the primary selves we're working with. These three selves represent three distinct orientations in your life. And they have conflicts and they're not fulfilled. They look to you because you're in the now. This is the only time where something can be done. Something can be healed, loved, resolved, fulfilled. They're looking to you now. And so when you resolve it, when you resolve these conflicts by stepping into the acknowledgement of who you are and taking off the filter of your limitations, not only do you heal you, love you, recreate you, and expand and grow you. You fulfill them. You heal them. You love them. You change them. And they, healed, can let go of their conflicts, their pain, their issues, and the positive aspect of them can merge into you. But you're going to beat up against, bang up against the walls of the negative or limiting aspects of these selves until you resolve them. Until you own who you are. And you can look at your younger selves with love and grace rather than resenting them, rather than kicking them, rather than punishing yourself or sabotaging yourself and having to start the whole conflict process over again through another venue, through another opportunity. Because your reality is going to keep bringing you the opportunities to resolve the issues of your child, adolescent, and young adult until you get them, until you deal with them. And as long as you're dealing with those, you're looking into your past. You're not looking into who you're becoming. You're not looking to fulfill your mission. You're basically struggling with letting go of your limitations so that you can be free. And you can blame those limitations. You can be really annoyed. Oh, no, and the challenge has come up. The stimulus has come up. Now I am in the kick-ass school of growth yet again. I'm up against the wall. Now I've got to grow. Oh, drat. Darn it. Once again, that check, you know, that they paid me bounced, and now I'm having problems covering my mortgage, my bills, whatever. Resenting the challenges. Resenting the conflicts that come within you. Resenting the lack of inner peace when it occurs. So today we're going to do some healing. We're going to find these voices, find your filters. You already know them. We've already discussed the broad strokes of the broad view of your filters. But you're going to find how they apply in you, and you're going to heal. Now, the child, adolescent, and young adult are three past selves. You have any number of past selves. Also, here in the now, because this is the only time there is, you have all your future selves available. How many of those do you work with at the same depth and extent that you work with of your past selves? You not only have your future selves, you have all your other lifetimes available right now in this moment to work with. You've been taught that something's wrong with you and you have to fix it. The whole business of psychotherapy, right, has been to okay, let's look at and identify the problem. Let's focus on the problem. Today we would like to bring you into focusing on the solution. Focusing more to now and to the future. To empower you, to free you, to create a new level of safety in your world for you. And to connect you more and more to the love that is natural in you. So you can heal. So you can step into your inner peace. Now, you don't just have those three cells chattering in your ear, inner ear all day long. No. You have others. You have other aspects. Now, those three cells seem to partner with other selves, with other, what we call, aspects of you. The child partners with what we call the internalized parent. The internalized parent is this authority that you established, your conscience, quote unquote, that told you what you were doing right and what you were doing wrong and punished you. Even though you may not have grown up in a Victorian childhood, your internal parent very often takes on that kind of strict tone. Now, just with your child, there's the dark filters, there's the limiting filters. The child has positive aspects you're not focusing on as much, perhaps. The parent has a positive aspect as well. But we're going to focus on the limiting aspect first. The internal parent is the one that tells you you're doing it wrong, the one who punishes you, the one who criticizes you, the one who's always looking over your shoulder to make sure that you're not doing something stupid. Now, the parent and the child have this ongoing dialogue, and here's where the conflict shows up with the child filter. The child and the parent are always at war. The parent is telling the child, this is what you're supposed to do, and this is how you're supposed to do it, and, you know, bad girl, bad boy, you know, I'm going to punish you now. You don't deserve that. You're wrong. Go sit in the corner. Don't go straight to your room without dinner. Those kinds of things. Even if your own parent never did that to you, your internalized one knows how to do it. Because it's a consensus reality. It is a collective form. It is an archetype. All right? And you installed it when you were a child to keep you on the straight and narrow. You installed it so that your real parents wouldn't catch you doing something wrong and punishing you. You let the internal parent do the job. Some of you are still punishing yourself without ever giving yourself an opportunity to really be free. The adolescent has also a partner, which we call the social ego. The social ego is the one that's always concerned about appearance and the outer appearance of things. Just always fussing about the outer appearance of things. And what does it say about me? And what do you think about me? And what do I need to do? And what facade must I put on? And what should I, how can I hide my embarrassment? How can I hide my weakness, my vulnerabilities? Social ego is always puffed up or in a sense, always in comparison mode. Okay, am I better or worse than them? All right, how do I stack up? And so the adolescent and the ego do this kind of dance, fighting, in a sense, between each other and playing tricks on each other and sabotaging each other. So if you have a lot of sabotage circumstances in your life, you know that your adolescent self and your social ego, your immature ego, are going on and on and on. The young adult also has a partner. It's called the slave driver. The slave driver is installed about the time that you're like in your early 20s somewhere. When you become the young adult, you also put the slave driver on your case. The slave driver is the one that keeps you pushing you and driving you until you achieve all those trappings of success that supposedly will make you happy. Well, since in your growth of your life and the exploration of your life and the discovery of who you are, you're not going to stay on track according to the young adult. What you dreamed of as being the ideal life at 22 is not the ideal life anymore at 32 or 42, 52, 62, or 72. But the slave driver is dedicated to keep you on the plan. And it will continuously point out how you haven't done enough, you have not achieved enough, you need to do more, you need to do it faster, you need to do it more elegantly, you need to have more money, you need to have more of this, you need to have more of that, so you need to go and play, have fun. No! You've got to get the trappings first. Then you can relax. Then you can enjoy yourself. And some of you are driven incessantly to exhaustion, to illness. It can drive your mates crazy. Because a slave driver will not just drive you. Oh, it's too much fun to drive everybody else too. And spar with everybody else. You recognize these three games, don't you? These three conflicts, the parent and the child, the adolescent and the social ego, the young adult and the slave driver. If you're not there at this very moment, you've seen these in your life. Some of you are totally driven by your slave driver. You can't give yourself a break because you're still waiting for somebody in you to tell you you've done a good job, you've done enough, you can take a break now. And how many of you have ever heard that? Really felt it? Really felt you've been given the permission to stop and just be. When you have done that, you have stepped into another reality, a greater one, a reality of greater life. But most have never done that. And if you have done that, it only lasts a short period of time, and then back to the stuff. Some of you cannot even take a vacation without either getting sick or feeling terribly guilty or having some kind of crisis that pulls you back to work, because a slave driver gives you no quarter. Now, imagine for a moment what would it be like without all of this. What would it be like? We're going to discover some of that today. You're going to step into that space today. Here's what we would like to do. We have a list here. Questions. And we're going to ask you some questions. The questions we're going to ask you are going to help you identify what your filters are. Going to help you figure out who's in charge. Who's in charge at it? You know, some of yourselves have their specialties. Your child self may have a specialty of relationships. Your adolescent self may have a specialty with money. You know? It's not like you're going to have one conflict throughout everything or one game in town. There's quite a few. You're very creative. You spent years building them and creating them and honing them and detailing them and making them very intricate. We're going to ask you some questions. And so just kind of think about it. Just feel, sense, and listen within your mind to your response. To feel perhaps just the energy might be enough for you to get a sense of, oh, that feels like adolescence. Because the adolescent doesn't want to do a thing. The adolescent would just like to hang. Right? Adolescent's just gonna do nothing. They want to be totally the princess. Doesn't matter what gender you are. Totally the princess. They don't want to ever have to do anything. So people who talk to us, I don't want to have to work. I want to work because I want to. That's the adolescent speaking. Because the adolescent says, I don't want to work. And if you have an adolescent in there, and you actually don't have to work, and you have plenty of money, it's amazing. You'll make whatever project you get into, all excited and enthusiastic, work. You'll make it into work. So that the adolescent, you can go, oh, I'm too busy. I don't want to do this. I want to hang out. I'm going to go watch some TV. I'm going to go sit on the beach. Fall asleep. Well, maybe drink some booze. Socialize with some friends and act like idiots. That's good. That'll take up some nice time. Or sleep, you know, 14 hours a day. Yeah, that sounds good. Adolescent. Yeah. All right. When we talked about the motivations of child, the child wants to be taken care of so that they can play. The adolescent wants to be accepted and unconditionally accepted so they can just kind of do nothing and still be seen as cool, really smart, really great. Take all the performance pressure off. The young adult's motivation, get something. I got to get something. I got to get the love. I've got to get the money. I've got to get this. I've got to get that. I've got to fix that and get this. Which one motivates you more often? Just sense within yourself. Overall. Which one motivates you the most in financial circumstances? When you have financial issues or crises, or say you lose money, your investments. Which one gets freaked out? The child, oh my gosh, who's going to take care of me? The adolescent, oh gosh, I've got to go to work now. Damn it, I shouldn't have to work. I'm spiritual. Jeez. The spiritual princess. Or the young adult. Oh no, I've got to do more. I've got to do harder. I'm going to have to take on 2-3 jobs now. I'm going to have to run myself ragged. I got to make that money. I got to get that money. I got to get it, get it, get it. I got to get it, get it. I can't sleep. I got to get it. Got to go, got to go, got to go. Faster, faster. Crack the whip. Which one is the one that gets you up in the morning? That tells you what it is that motivates you to get up? Are you motivated by the fears of the child to get up? Oh, if you don't get up, then this will happen or that will happen. Or the adolescent, you have to get up. If you don't get up, then you'll get rejected. If you don't get up and go to work today, then you could get fired, and that would be bad. On one hand, you could sleep a lot, but if you got fired, but on the other hand, that would be pretty messy. You wouldn't look good. Or the young adult. Oh, you've got this to do and that 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 to do. All got all these duties. You've got all these obligations. Come on, if you don't get up now, you won't even get anywhere with them. Get going. Come on, come on, come on. Move your butt. Which one dominates your relationships? The needy child? The adolescent who just wants romance or sex? Well, let's not go too deep, because then you might see too much. You might see my inadequacies, or you might see my weaknesses, and you might not love me anymore. So let's keep it at the nice, ideal, romantic, or let's just keep it at sex. Let's keep it shallow. And even if you say, I desire something deeper, I desire something more, if you're an adolescent, you'll keep attracting your one-night stands, because that's what your adolescent wants. You'll, as soon as you go deep in a relationship, they're going to leave or something. Or you'll run away. Or the young adult. The relationship has got to look like this. My mate has got to look like this. Got to have this body shape. Got to make this much money. Or got to have this type of job or network. It's got to look right. Got to have the trappings. Now we know that you've worked with this. We know you've been on your spiritual journey. You've done a lot of work on yourself. You've done a lot of clearing, lots of understanding about yourself. But you can still feel the taint of these selves in there. Are you comfortable with visibility? What would you fear that people could really see about you if you were truly visible? What is your biggest weakness? If you hadn't developed that weakness, or you didn't have that weakness, how would your life be different now? Why are you not more successful than you are? What's the story about that? What's your personal story? Why aren't you more successful than you are? Regardless of what level of success you have right now, you know there's a part of you that says you should be more. What do you think you should be doing? Who's telling you what you should do? What does that feel like, to have some inner part of you telling you, now you should do this and you should do that? Who critiques you? Who judges you? How does that feel when you judge yourself? You see, the internal parent is going to admonish you, discipline you, judge you, critique you, because it's for your own good, right? Some of you have transposed that into your spiritual path. What do you resist? Do you resist intimacy, success, visibility, power, freedom, love? What do you resist? Why? Are you ever belligerent, angry, hostile, demanding, impatient, grumpy? Huh? Are you ever a grump? Are you defensive ever? Condescending? Do you hide? What do you hide? What is it you don't want to show? Do you detach in times of stress? You see, the challenges that make you grow, though they create stress in, if your response is through any of these past selves, you will feel stressed. If you want to get all the stress off of you, you need to move into that peace and harmony. Are you ever overwhelmed? This is child, for example. Child will get overwhelmed. It's the excuse to not do anything. Overwhelmed is my excuse to go into paralysis now because I'm just too scared to move. I'm too scared to make a wrong move, a wrong choice, take a wrong direction. If I do something wrong, I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get really whammied. Confused? Too many options? You go into paralysis? You just stall out? You have your ways of dismantling your energies. There's so much that goes on in you all day long. You think thousands of things all day long. Many of these things are the same thing over and over. When the channel was in her 20s, she became a member of the Science of the Soul. It was a group of meditators initiated by an Indian guru. And one of the practices was called Simran. It's like a mantra. You're given certain charged words. Like a mantra, you're supposed to repeat it all day long as a replacement to all those inner voices. That is the way that they dealt with it. That's the way they dealt with the conflicts. Now, she didn't learn the strategies of how to handle her reality. She didn't learn the new ways and means that you learn when you heal. She didn't learn how to put on a filter of empowerment. She didn't learn how to create safety, emotional, spiritual safety for herself. She didn't learn how to do the strategies, the successful strategies that helped her live her life on a day-to-day basis. She covered up the voices by trying to do Simran all day long. And then you were also required to keep a journal. In those days, she had to keep a journal of all the times that she thought angry thoughts, that she said something negative, that she thought something negative, said something negative, or did something negative. And she had to write it down, the number of times. They knew the path of total salvation, the path of total transcendence into the other realms of light, to where ultimately would be that the initiate would ultimately sit upon the throne of the self and know that they were divine. They said that. They told everyone, this is where you're going. But most of these old traditions were first to tell you how, what a really shitty person you are. It was thought that if you could really judge yourself appropriately, that you could get rid of your ego. Yeah, right. Oh, the slave driver loves that one. Picked that up on that like with a snap. So did the internal parent. The ego got into it too. But if you did your Simran, if you did your mantra, day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out, you'd begin to have extraordinary experiences. You would experience moments of incredible peace, transcendence. You could go into rapture, enter astral travel, see the greatness of the universe. That was there too. The key, so important, were the inner voices. The key was the inner story. The key was the conflicts that came with all those filters. If you will look at every spiritual group, every method, it's here. It's the same thing. Same thing. And just think about it. Here you are, listening to us today. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You don't have to go and find your right guru, get initiated. You don't have to continuously say affirmations or mantras all day long. And you come out with strategies of empowerment to where you have mastery in your life, where you can consciously and deliberately step into your peace and into your harmony and resolve it. What is the price of self-realization? Your personal mission as a light being is to realize yourself, that you are divine. You may have a global mission. You want to share it with the world. You want to change together with the light beings that are part of your network, your spiritual family. The vibrations, the life, the ways and means of this planet to heal, to lift, to touch, to love, to recreate, to grow and expand. The nature of your divine, to share with all, to shift and change so that all may step into peace and harmony. For only a few bucks, this is the secret. You'll find it in every group, every spiritual group you go. You may experience it differently, but this is the essence. Now, later on today, we will discuss and share with you how to incorporate the positive aspects and to build this new self that you will live in, the self that will anchor into the divine you, the spiritual adult, the spiritual adult, not just an adult, the divine one, the spiritual one. And we also want to emphasize that spirituality for so many is really high intellect. This is the work that so many seek to avoid because it brings up emotion. But this is the crux of your manifestation issues. This is the crux of your mastery of life. This is the crux of your self-realization. And this one point. Your inner voices are critical to your acceptance of who you are and your knowing. Because not only will you be able to respond out of a spiritual adult, out of a mature place, but you'll be able to be proactive in your growth. New school. The new school of growth is that you choose to grow throughout whatever venue is your favorite at the moment, so that all aspects of your life are in mastery, in harmony, in magic. You move from fear to love. You can move from being the one who seeks to find the rules, to find the way, to find whatever the spiritual path is and all the rules and regs that go with it and so on, and fulfill all of that so that you can get, you know, healed and so that you can get spiritual, to the one who steps into and builds and claims their light as an authority that they are. No longer a rebel, no longer living on the fringe, no longer resisting, but owning and knowing. From the one who sees themselves as the child of God, quote unquote, always as the child, and God is the parent, to the one who can, with responsibility, take on a co-creational mission with God and the divine, God, Goddess, all that is, as part of the divine. This is the key. You got the secret from us today. You'll find it in every group, everywhere, but hidden, perhaps, under a lot of intellect in some places. People who are very spiritually advanced but emotionally backwards will still have to face their issues and look through their filters until they heal. All right, now we're going to take a break. How long shall we take it? 15 minutes. And then after the break, we're going to have the opportunity for you to ask questions. And during the break, we suggest you think about which of yourselves is your more limiting self, limited. Which one sabotages you? Which one pulls the rug out from under you? Which pair of, which partnerships? Child, parent, adolescent, social ego, young adult, and slave driver. Which one is predominant in your life and taints everything that you do? So, 15 minutes from now, we will return. So for now, farewell.